Hey, their chance came. Yes, it did. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, to tell you about their chance came. Yes. Bill and Melinda Gates were like anybody else in the world. They're always, as they were growing up and as they were living, thinking, gee, it'd be nice to do nice things for other people. Gee, it'd be nice to be happy for other people. Gee, it'd be nice to make other people's lives richer and fuller. Gee, it'd be nice to take our dreams and make them all come true. Gee, it'd be nice. If I only had all the money in the world, I could go and do this. I could go and do that. I would go and make my dreams come true. I'd go and fulfill all the wishes of my heart. I'd go and do it. Well, Bill and Melinda Gates have all the money in the world. And they have all the dreams in the world that they want to play with. They can help the poor. They can help the sick. They can help the needy. They can help peace on earth. They can help everywhere. There's no limit to what they can do. And what are they doing? They are doing, without limit, the things they want to do. They have, a large team of people. And these people work in many different fields. There are people who work in science and people who work in human relations. There are people who work in health. There are people who work in just every possible imaginable field you could want. And it's a group of people. And in each area, these people study what are the current opportunities, needs, potentials, and then they study them through and they see how they think they might be able to be beneficial to people, and then they take one or two of them and they bring them to the Gates. And the Gates make the final decision. They say, okay, this is a beautiful idea this man has come up with. He's come up with a way of improving the engines of cars so that they can burn less gas and be more efficient and so forth. And many other details about it, of course. So the Gates study this and they say, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Let's look and see how much they need to, they already know because they've done their research, see how much of the money they need to get going with their project. We're not going to, you know, buy the whole thing. We're just encouraging them. It's their project. We want them to be inspired and illumined as they are and carry out their dreams and carry out their goals. And so the Gates do that. And they do that very wonderfully. Their chance came. They had an opportunity to take all the dreams of the world and work on them. Now, how two people could work on all the dreams in the world is unbelievable, but if someone said to you, hey, here's all the money in the world, you can go and do anything you want, you can help people or do this or do that, what sort of things would you like to work on? Oh, would you come up with ideas? First, you'd come up with ideas for yourself, even though you say, no, I'd do for others first. But first, you come up with ideas for yourself. You'd have a nice home to live in. You'd have a nice car to drive. You'd have nice clothing to wear. You'd have a nice family. You'd have all the good things. But then you'd take this money and you'd say, now, here we got these billions and billions and trillions of dollars. So now, what are we going to do with them? So, okay, as an individual, you cannot begin to investigate all the possibilities. So you create a team. And you create this team to go out, not one team, you create a dozen teams under different aspects, science, industry, business, relations, and all that sort of stuff, health, harmony. And then the teams go out and find the people who could use it. Now, it's not a matter that the poor people need to be fed. It's not a matter that the poor people need to have medicine. It's not a matter of these things on an individual one-on-one basis. That's important too. But it's a matter of how is our healthcare money being spent? How is Are money being initiated for the people? Are the people having the benefit of it? Now, you look at the legislators, you look at the congressmen and senators and mayors and governors and presidents and what have you, and all these people are spending our money, our tax money, to figure out what they think would be a very noble project. And they come up with lots of projects. And these projects are health, Medicare, Medi-Cal, and all these various other things that come along. And they come up with feeding the nations, and they come up with the proper type of farm growth and pesticides, and just a million possibilities. Well, they don't take all of them because they don't have the ability to contemplate all of them at once. So they take one or two of them and make that their particular program. And it's the almighty program. And of course, there's lots of kickback for them. There's lots of kickback for the community. They get it into their state, their county, their city, their welfare program. And they're interested in all those things. Well, now, we have a unique setup here with Bill Gates. Bill and Melinda Gates presumably have no particular axe to grind, no particular thing that's going to benefit them, because they've got it all. They don't need it. Now, what they want to do is to find out how they can make the world a little better place by helping people with the ideas they have, the inventions they have, to come along and bring these things forth and to bless and benefit mankind. Now, there are a lot of people who did not have benefactors as they were creating their dream, the light bulb, Mr. Edison, and Henry Ford, who was developing his car, and he was developing many other things. And these people didn't have a lot of benefactors to help them. Well, they perhaps had a few. But basically, they had to do it on their own. Basically, they had to work their way through from beginning to end and struggle their way through and really come up with some pretty wonderful things. Now, everyone didn't think they were wonderful. Many people would have thought, hey, it would have been better for you to spend your money this way or that way. Well, now with the Gates, there's no question about this way or that way, or the right way or the wrong way, or what is more important than others. It's just a matter of what can they think about as a possibility. And one of the things that the Gateses are working on is education. And they think that our nation has not quite lived up to the possibility of its greatness in education, although we truly have. But there's such a wonderful long way to go. And we compare ourselves with the Chinese, the Japanese, the Koreans. We compare ourselves with the British and the Germans and the French and the various other nations of the world. And this is good, I guess. But what is really good is when somebody like the Gates and their chances come, and they take that chance, and they go out, and they do something that they think is important. And so now, they're working with the educational institutions around the United States. They're working with the legislators who have taken education as their primary project. And as they work with these people, they don't just buy their program. They just don't buy what they want to say offhand straight away. They listen to it. And they choose the good that they feel are beneficial, and they forget the others. And they only can work on so many things at once. I mean, there's these two beautiful minds who are making decisions. Now, have they made the right decision? Have they made the wrong decision? What difference does it make? What difference does it make? What difference does it make that Mr. Edison had many, many choices of putting the filament into his electric bulb before he found the one that was the most beneficial? Now, all the other filaments worked, one for a half an instant, a fraction, one sometimes for an hour, sometimes for days, and sometimes quite long. And sometimes their light was bright, and sometimes their light was dim. And all the factors that Mr. Edison took into account for his bulb was something that was very important. So the Gates, they have all the world projects. And I mean all the world projects. They go all over the world for projects. And as they go to these projects that benefit humanity, as they determine it, they come up with some pretty exciting adventures. Some pretty exciting adventures. No matter what you say, no matter what you think, no matter what you dream about, believe it or not, they've done it. They have come up and thought about it. Now, is it the time has come for all experiences? No. The time has not come for all ideas to be fulfilled. Maybe more than we know, but it is not the time. And Bill and Melinda Gates are sort of like a time machine. They are making the time come for many different projects, many different desires, many different programs. And because they're making the time has come for these, and investing their capital in it to help it to become a realistic program, many beautiful things are happening. Now, the Gates have already set in many thousands of programs, and we haven't heard about them at all. And there'll be many hundreds of thousands of programs more that they will set in motion. Some are offshoots of other programs, some are just the beginning, and some are the end, and some are the middle, and it doesn't matter. But their chance has come, and your chance has come. Your chance has come the minute you have a dream in your heart, the minute you have a thought in your mind, and that thought says, hey, this might be a great idea. And that thought says to you, this might be something so fantastic that it'll just flip the world over and make everybody say, hey, that is really marvelous. That is really exciting. That is really great. And then what happens? Then, when its time has come, as the thought about it is, then it comes to fruition. Now, maybe some beautiful idea is being expressed and people think, oh, how crazy, how outlandish, how unacceptable, and yet it comes forth. Oh, there are lots of crazy inventions and crazy, crazy inventors that are bringing these things up, and they're coming out and they're spending money on it and they're having fun with it. And nothing comes of it because it's just more of a humorous thing. But the real things that affect society and that affect individuals, the real thing, it has a time that has come point about it. And if it is the time that has come for it, it will be. Now, it will be whether the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation helps to support it, whether somebody else helps to support it. There are many, 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 many other people who are philanthropists in this world. None quite as famous as the Gates, but many, many people who have millions and billions of dollars to invest in other people's dreams, and perhaps even in their own dreams. When you have a dream, take your dream and don't wish for someone to help support it. Don't wish for someone to help you bring your dream into fruition. Don't wish for someone to help you make your issue an issue whose time has come to be carried out. You take that dream and place it in your heart and let the divine in you, the magic in you, the allness in you, take over. And as it takes over, you will feel good about it. You're no longer fighting to promote your project. You're no longer fighting to find a dream, to find a sugar daddy, to find someone who's going to help to pay the bill. You're just living it in your dream world, in your heart, in your imagination, in your inner self. And as you do this, you will come up with all the magic to make your dream a dream whose time has come. And you will not anticipate it, you will not promote it, you will not wish for it, you will just live it. You will live as though it is already fulfilled and accomplished. You will live with your dream, with your imagination, with your ideal for yourself. And you will live as though you were just going to go in the next room and there it is. You have it now. Now, when you do this, you are looking for the highest and best fulfillment of your dream. And as you look for the highest and best fulfillment of your dream, all things work together to bring it about. The reason so many dreams, as good as they may have been, allow themselves to not be fulfilled is that they people who have them want to capitalize on them right away. They want to make money on them right away. They don't want their dream to be the issue. They want the ability to have it financially successful be the issue. There are techniques to have automobile engines exactly as powerful, exactly like any engines that exist, to go on 2 miles a gallon, 10 miles a gallon, 50 miles a gallon, 100 miles a gallon, 1,000 miles a gallon. The possibility is there, and it has been thought of by people, and they have taken it to major companies. And as they take it to these major companies, the major companies say, wow, great, yes, we'll buy that. Yes, we want to buy it lock, stock, and barrel. And then they put it in their vault. Because it's not economically sound for them to have that out at this moment. Because having it out, then they don't make as much money on their oil companies, and they don't make as much money on their cars that are having obsolescence built into it. You see, when we work with our dream for the dream's sake, and we make that dream a public dream so that everyone knows about it, then its time has come. But when we use it as something just to be financially successful for us, to be our own little pot of gold, that's not bad. But if we do that, then the dream in its magnificence, in its magic, in its majesty, in its allness, do not come to fruition as quickly as it might. We know, we hear from the automobile companies that they can get 60, 70, 100 miles to a gallon with no problem at all. And why not more? We hear that cars can go faster, slower, powerful, or no, whatever they choose. And that which is the time has come. Their chance has come. The chance of the engines enjoying their gas more. The chance of the beauty of many things. As the saying goes, the idea, the reality, and the idea for the Pharaoh thousands of years ago to drive around in a most glorious automobile with the most perfect engine using gasoline is just as possible as it is today. It wasn't done in that time because they poo-pooed it and they said, oh no, it cannot be. But it was there. Leonardo da Vinci drew pictures of diving bells and submarines and airplanes and helicopters before the concept ever took off the ground. And yet, he thought of them way back then. And you can be sure, people thought of them before. Do you ever dream of yourself flying without wings? Do you ever dream of yourself going through the air from point to point and having experiences? Do you ever dream of yourself levitating? Do you ever dream of yourself having sufficient food without having to eat it? Have you ever dreamed of yourself having beautiful clothing that are so light you don't even feel them, and yet they're warm, and yet they're protective of whatever you want to be protected from with the clothing, whether it's climbing trees or whatever? They all exist. They all exist. Oh, they had a story about a Tarzan-type character, and he was living in the jungle, and there were many beautiful cities in that jungle, and there were many beautiful people living in their very beautiful cities with all the amenities, and he had a string, a wire string, or something like that nature, just very tiny, no more than a string for a kite. And he had that string somehow on a roll-up, reel-up thing, and when he wanted to, he would shoot out that string, and it would wrap around a tree limb or a building somehow, and then he would slide down that tree limb, that string, to wherever he was, and then he would unleash it, and then he'd have it again. But is that a possibility? Oh, yes. That's science fiction. Oh, yes. And does such a thing already exist? Oh, yes. Are we sending pictures through the air without wire? Are we sending messages to telephone through information through the air without wire? Yes, we are. Are we hearing what's going on outside of our own body through vibrations? Are we seeing through vibrations? And are our eyes interpreting these vibrations? Are our ears receiving the vibrations? And our brain interpreting the vibration? Yes, that's it. Our eyes do not see anything except vibrations. And these vibrations are sent to the brain, and the brain interprets them and tells us what we see. That's why so many different people looking at the same thing see different things. Well, now, these are outlandish things. Could you create that? Could mankind create such a thing that was so divinely created? And the answer is yes. All of these things are quite simple, quite normal. And the more we let go and let the divine within us reveal to us all that we are, the more we will understand and be aware of and be able to bring forth these things ourselves. For that's what life is all about. That's what their chance has come, their time has come. That's where life has reached that new level of imagination, that new level of creativity, that new level of beingness. Yes, their chance has come. Your chance has come too. It's waiting for your dream to be revealed. It's not revealing your dream outwardly, it's revealing your dream first inwardly. And when you reveal your dream inwardly, the outward reflection will be there. The outward expression will be there. The outward revelation of who and what you dream will be there. The gates, as I tell the story, Bill worked in his office and he did beautiful things in Microsoft, and his wife worked at home in the foundation. And she came to supper every evening with a smile on her face because she was doing things she thoroughly enjoyed. And Bill came to supper in the evening often with a frown on his face for the many things that he had to work with during the day which were not his choice. And he said to his wife, "You know, Melinda, you've got the best of all worlds. And here I can have it too, and I am just being a commercialist." And so he decides to resign from his post. Can you imagine that? Resign from a job that's paying millions and millions and millions of dollars a month to you? You're the richest man in the world. Can you imagine that? You see, when personal wealth was no longer a question, then his divine wealth, the utilization of ideas to be a blessing to the world, to be a blessing to everything. He thought if only he'd had such wisdom as cancer research when his mother was ill, how much it might have helped her. And then he stopped thinking those things and he started thinking, I'm living in the now. I'm living in the now. How can I be happy that I was born? How can I be happy that I landed on this planet Earth? And I, on this planet Earth, have an opportunity to be a blessing to the entire Earth. That I can work with Greenpeace, that I can work with the benefit of all mankind. And I don't need praise, I don't need anybody saying, I did this, because most of the time, the things that now he's working with are sub rosa. They're not known to the general public. Many things are, of course, because it's just that way. But most of the things that he works with, humanity may never know except for those people who were themselves involved in it. You and I are Bill and Melinda Gates, too. We can play their game, too. Maybe not on the big, grand scale that they're doing, but on the little scale of our day-to-day activity of saying, my chance has come. My opportunity has come to be who I am and be how wonderful I am. And it is done now. And then I sit back in my own mental ideas, in my own inner thoughts, and I listen to the divine within me shower me with ideas, with illumination, with magic, and I take one or two or three of these beautiful showerings, and I polish them up to my understanding, and I carry them out, and I bring them forth, for indeed their time has come. I choose to recognize it. You choose to recognize it. We choose to enjoy it. Life is great, isn't it? I love you. I love you. I love you.